Gildan Media, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Blessing. Women of Color, Teaming Up to Lead, Empower, and Thrive. By Bonita Coleman Stewart and Jacqueline Adams. Narrated by Janina Edwards. Preface by Deborah L. Lee, Chairman and CEO Emeritus, BET Networks, Board Member of Marriott International, Burberry Group PLC, and AT&T Incorporated, and Chair, Leading Women Defined Foundation. As a Black female CEO, I've often been called a unicorn in the boardrooms and corporate offices which I frequent. I have always known that Black women are special. I have hired, worked with, and managed them. I have mentored them, convened them, and cheered them on in their careers. But I have never heard them referred to as blessings until now. The moment I realized that a group of unicorns is called a blessing, I thought how perfect and powerful a title it is. A Blessing, Women of Color Teaming Up to Lead, Empower, and Thrive. This book by Bonita Stewart and Jackie Adams shines a light on the qualities which women of color executives bring to any company and how, when we team up and support each other, we can accomplish so much and thrive. With their proprietary research, the authors prove the case that we women of color are natural leaders, and we excel in accomplishing any and every goal. I hope companies listen to this book, and that it causes a shift in thinking that diversity and inclusion are not only the right things to do, they are great for business. Forward by Kenneth Chenault, Chairman and Managing Director of General Catalyst, former Chairman and CEO of American Express. Throughout my career, I have paraphrased a quote from Napoleon: "The role of a leader is to define reality and to give hope." Jacqueline Adams and Bonita Stewart have written a book that accomplishes both for women of color and their allies in the business world. While Jackie's and Bonita's book is focused on business, it does so through the lens of middle-class childhoods, unapologetically Black perspectives, and with an unflinching analysis of this country's history of racism, yet with an optimism about the future that I recognized immediately as echoing my own. Leadership and collaboration are important themes that run deeply throughout the book, which many have described as FBF, fresh, bold, and fierce. I couldn't agree more. As an undergraduate at Bowdoin College, I studied the careers of early African-American students who came before me. Of the approximately 20 Black men who graduated between 1910 and 1950, half earned grades high enough to be admitted to the prestigious Phi Beta Kappa Society, and yet half were not allowed to live on campus because of their race. Their attempts to have the career that I did were thwarted by Jim Crow practices and blatant racism that still permeate far too much of American society today. From post-slavery Reconstruction to the early 1900s through Brown v. Board of Education, there has been a tremendous gap in opportunity. If we had been granted the same basic equal human rights after emancipation, think about what a different place we'd all be in, as African Americans and as a society overall. We've always had the brain power, the grit, and the resilience to succeed. Instead, so much potential has been wasted. Often, I am asked why progress has been so slow on racial diversity in business in particular. I believe that a real commitment is required from business leaders and society, driven by the basic belief that it is not enough for human beings to be simply tolerated or accepted. To truly make progress, African Americans, women, and other historically marginalized people must feel that they are a part of society. And for that to happen, they must not be just accepted, they must be embraced. Further, I fundamentally believe that corporations exist because society allows them to exist. Therefore, all businesses have an obligation to contribute positively to the betterment and progress of society. Representation matters. It should come as no surprise that by placing people of diverse backgrounds, race, and gender in positions of power, with time, the fabric of leadership begins to change. I've seen that change, which is powerful and compelling. and I'm proud of having driven some of that change throughout my career. However, diversity and inclusion have not been widely adopted in the technology and venture capital industries, and that is in large part why I have chosen to focus this next chapter of my career in these areas. It's ironic that technology has improved our society in so many ways, and yet the leadership of the industry remains largely unchanged, but not forever. As Bonita's and Jackie's research and interviews illustrate, this next generation of professionals, in particular young women of color, are appropriately and deservedly demanding equity. They know their value, as do the executives with the power to hire them. And, as the book illustrates, when women early in their careers collaborate with women with established careers, their collective knowledge and power are absolutely unstoppable. Bonita and Jackie leave us with an important call to action, becoming and empowering true allies committed to greeting, welcoming, and embracing women of color into centers of power. Ultimately, the disruptors will have to innovate beyond themselves to truly change the world. A word from the authors. Women of Color in Business, Cross-Generational Survey. As we began to conceptualize this book, we found massive amounts of data about women of color and women at work. We were inspired by, and even participated in, the groundbreaking, in-depth research that Harvard Business School scholars conducted about Black men and women alumni, Spheres of Influence, a portrait of Black MBA program alumni. We were surprised, however, that we could not find surveys that compared and contrasted the different generations of women of color at work. Such research may exist, or may be in the process of being conducted, but it wasn't immediately apparent. Therefore, we conducted our own. We named our research the Women of Color in Business Cross-Generational Survey. In business, relationships matter. Jackie met Scott Siff, co-founder of Quadrant Strategies, more than a decade ago, and together, Scott and Jackie have collaborated on a series of nonprofit activities. Jackie had long admired Scott's work as a pollster for major corporations and influential politicians. She was happy to introduce Scott and his team to Bonita. Together, we refined a series of topics tied to the themes we anticipated for this book. Within weeks, we had data from 4,005 Black, Latinx, Asian, and White desk or knowledge workers across four generations, Boomers, ages 55 to 72, Gen X, ages 38 to 54, Millennials, ages 23 to 37, and Gen Z, ages 16 to 22. Our list of about 13 topics grew into 91 questions. The survey was fielded over less than a month, online, in the fall of 2019. Granted, we oversampled African American and Latinx women, but we felt the experiences of Asian and white women were important controls. Full details about our methodology can be found in our endnotes. An executive summary can be found on our website, www.leadempowerthrive.com. We were heartened by the raw data that came back, as well as the reactions of Scott's colleagues, Hannah Leverson and Mary Amos. Some of the results are inspiring, some predictable. However, all are important for current and future employers. We sought advice for achieving success for women of color in the workplace from all of the races. As a teaser for the full survey, we want you to take a close look at the advice we separated out, advice offered by our 1,604 African American women by generation. Black women say, never give up. Given our history of struggle, it was reassuring, albeit predictable, to see that the most consistent and loudest message was, never give up. Most of the African American women also said, work hard and don't let others stop you. The troubling but realistic implication is somebody might try to stop you. And of course, many have. But Black women also said, keep pushing. Across the generations, many said, don't let color define you. When we took a closer look at the women's respondents, there were intriguing differences between the four generations. Black boomer women, Bonita's and Jackie's generation, ages 55 to 72, sounded like mothers and grandmothers. Much of the burden of the advice for success was self-directed. Get an education. Know your worth. Be professional. Do your job. Listen and learn. Put God first. You can achieve. Stay focused. Be confident. Believe in yourself. The Black Gen X women, ages 38 to 54, were a bit more defiant. Don't be afraid. Just do you. Don't change for anyone. The Black Millennials, ages 23 to 37, were both self-focused and defiant. Always do your best. Don't be discouraged. Do what you want. Believe in yourself. Don't be afraid. Just be yourself. Happily, the Black Gen Z population, still in high school and college, ages 16 to 22, were the most confident and optimistic. Just be yourself. Ignore negativity. You can do anything. You are beautiful. These answers should serve as a wake-up call for current and future leaders. To be most effective going forward, exceptional leaders must understand the generational nuances within ethnic groups. Let's call this concept GD, generational diversity. You heard it here first. Introduction. A group of unicorns is called a blessing. Myth has it that seeing a unicorn brings good luck and fortune to the observer. We embrace this metaphor. We are a blessing of black unicorns, accomplished female leaders of color, rare yet highly visible, unmistakably increasing in number, with the potential to wield significant influence around the world. The dictionary defines a blessing as a prayer, a stroke of luck, and a seal of approval. Look around. Imagine yourself as the only one, the sole sister in the business world, in a boardroom, in the C-suite, on a private jet, in any strategic planning meeting. Then imagine these black unicorns as a collective of experience, succeeding, full of resilience, pioneering spirit and glory. Imagine, with us, a future in which a blessing of black unicorns is empowered to team up, a future in which teaming up can fulfill our economic promise and be an act of salvation for our world. Our work, a blessing, women of color teaming up to lead, empower, and thrive, presents a scholarly review of data that supports our premise for the empowerment of and collaboration by black women in business. This book also includes the results of our original proprietary research, our Women of Color in Business Cross-Generational Survey, which examined the views of 4,005 female desk or knowledge workers across four races, black, Latinx, Asian, and white, and four generations, Gen Z, Millennials, Gen X, and Boomers. In addition, we interviewed several successful Harvard Business School alumni of color across three of the four generations, whose observations and lived experiences amplify our themes. Our work is reflective, filled with personal anecdotes and experiences, and offers real-life lessons and action steps through what we call our living log. First and foremost, though, we put forth a theory and a call to action for black women to come together, along with our allies of all colors, for the greater good. In our historical context, women of color have had limited or no power. We've been victims of racism and misogyny, victims of the divide and rule and the divide and conquer strategies of slave owners and overseers. We have been separated from our families, separated along color lines for hot, back-breaking jobs in the field versus those inside the kitchens and nurseries of the house and by society in general. Divide and rule. From Latin, divide et impera, or divide and conquer, in politics and sociology, is gaining and maintaining power by breaking up larger concentrations of power into pieces that individually have less power than the one implementing the strategy. When slavery ended, the separations didn't. Psychologically separated from our true identity, we carried over ideals of white is right for years, Inter-ethnic separation along color lines left over from insidious mental programming led to, for example, the paper bag test, too often a deciding factor for which social organizations, colleges, fraternities, and sororities to which we could be considered for admittance. The lighter the better, but no one whose skin was darker than a brown paper bag was allowed. Along with the perceived benefits of good hair, we developed a crabs-in-a-barrel syndrome, further promoted by the notion of a talented tenth, which created delusional comfort for the few who succeeded in getting to the top. Ironically, the perceived physical benefits of shade and hair texture were the results of generations of our grandmothers and great-grandmothers being routinely raped by their owners, producing additional capital, i.e., additional children or assets for those owners. If we're honest, admiration for hair and skin tones was a manifestation of self-loathing for our original blackness. Fast forward to the 21st century, and we are in a totally new world, in different career environments. Through advances in technology, racial and gender awareness is exploding at a rapid pace. As women, we are now being told to lean in, to assert ourselves at work and at home, and grab success. For women of color, however, we have the additional burden of often being the only one. Leaning in means we have to learn how to ignore and move past our onlyness, our soulness, and our loneliness with style and confidence to become leaders who have the skills to teach upcoming leaders the power of unity. Let's sit on our sofa. We have been there. Our invitation to sit on our sofa is what happens when you bring together a renowned network news correspondent and a seasoned tech executive who want to share what we have learned and experienced with passion and compassion. We first met through the Harvard Business School, HBS, Alumni Network. For us, attending HBS was a life-altering experience that created a launching pad for our career successes and financial fulfillment, just as it has for so many global business luminaries. Over the years, we have shared in and cheered on each other's successes. After participating in the 50th anniversary celebration of the HBS African American Student Union, AASU, we felt a deep urge to do more with the insights we have gained. After all, in 1968, AASU was created by 5 African American students to enrich the ranks of Black business leadership. Indeed, the mission of HBS is to create leaders who make a difference in the world. We want to embody, to breathe life into those missions today and for the future. A source of inspiration for us is Lillian Lincoln Lambert, the epitome of a line from Maya Angelou's poem, "We Are the Miraculous." In 1969, Lillian became the first African-American woman to earn an MBA from Harvard Business School. For 2 lonely years, she was the only, the sole Black woman within the school's hallowed halls. Still, she succeeded in earning her degree and built a thriving business. Since then, almost 700 smart and ambitious African-American women have followed in Lillian's footsteps, many ascending to become great leaders despite their onlyness. Like Lillian, both of us have always felt like unicorns, as soul sisters, as raisins in our various professional bread puddings. We didn't look like the vast majority of men and women against whom we competed and with whom we collaborated throughout our business lives. Our singular and collective story has not been fully told, and our pay-it-forward instincts were unfulfilled. We consider this our time to scale Black talent, to team up, to unify with our peers, to create a new center of gravity. Think of the possibilities of sisters as a service. After all, today we have software as a service, SaaS, a software distribution model that allows a provider to host applications and make them available to customers over the internet, thus creating exponential scale. We propose using this same model in our unique context to scale the power of Black unity. The power of women supporting each other in the workplace and beyond is not to be underestimated. Why now? Let's review the data, theirs and ours. Our work is supported by data. Before we delve into our full narrative, let's review some of the data we reference and share some of the data we collected. Data informs this work. We want you to keep the data top of mind as you listen. Demographics and fertility. Current projections are that women of color will be in the majority in the United States by 2060, if not before. According to a 2018 New York Times op-ed by Charles M. Blow, both the Census Bureau and the Brookings Institution have noted the shrinking fertility rates of white women in the U.S. Blow cites this factor as one possible source of the current white extinction anxiety. Our ambitions. To assess women's attitudes and experiences around work and the future, we commissioned our Women of Color in Business cross-generational survey. Seeded throughout our various chapters, our results may be the first time Black female boomers, Gen Xers, millennials, and Gen Zers, all desk workers, have been queried. For fairness and comparison purposes, we also questioned Latinx, Asian, and white women. We asked about satisfaction at work and in life, stress, sources of support and inspiration, the impact of their fathers, and more. In many cases, our findings dovetail with those of other surveys that we have assessed. Overall, despite the extra scrutiny Black and brown women face in the hiring process and on the job, we are the most optimistic and confident about the future. We are leaving traditional corporations in favor of our own entrepreneurial ventures in striking numbers. We are trendsetters, and we know it. But we are open to working with allies of other races, metaphorical doormen, who can and should accept and usher us into the realms of power for which we are more than qualified to enter. Our impact on the overall economy. Dr. Cindy Pace, Global Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer for MetLife, quantified the impact of Black women on the economy in the August 2018 Harvard Business Review. $1 trillion as consumers, and $361 billion in revenue as entrepreneurs, launching companies at four times the rate of all women-owned businesses. This means women of color are a force in the U.S. economy. Teaming up, indeed, could literally be an act of economic salvation. The C-suite. Dr. Pace's research confirmed what we, scholars and think tanks, have found. Women of color in the workplace are undeniably ambitious. We want power and influence. We confidently seize opportunities. We pursue management challenges. We cultivate influential mentors. And yet, Black women's advancement into leadership roles has remained stagnant, even as the number of them in professional and managerial roles has increased. In late 2014, Harvard Business Review anticipated Dr. Pace's findings and reported Black women are nearly three times more likely than white to aspire for a position of power with a prestigious title. And yet, white women are about twice as likely as Black women to attain one. More research shows diverse leadership benefits companies in all sectors. Firms with the most ethnically diverse executive teams were 33% more likely to outperform their peers on profitability. Those with executive-level gender diversity worldwide had a 21% likelihood of outperforming their industry competitors. But these realizations have not yet created lasting change. In fact, there has been backsliding. Only a handful of women of color have ever been CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. However, currently, Ursula Burns at Xerox, Ann Fudge at Y&R Brands, Indra Nooyi at PepsiCo, and Geisha Williams at PG&E have all moved on from their CEO jobs. In their May 2020 ranking of the Fortune 500, editors announced that 36 women were CEOs of the largest companies, an increase over 2019's 33. Three of these women were of color. Sonia Single at The Gap, Advanced Micro Devices CEO Lisa Su, and Yum China CEO Joey Watt. However, editors noted that no Black women or Latinas run Fortune 500 companies. In 2019, Mary Winston, then interim CEO of Bed Bath & Beyond, was the first Black CEO since Ursula Burns, but 1 year later, she did not make the list. According to the search firm Korn Ferry, the dearth of senior Black leaders in corporate America is the result of high-potential African-American leadership talent choosing to opt out of corporate life for independent careers. The reasons? Lack of representation in the C-suite and boardroom, conscious and unconscious biases, and lack of career support. This finding poses and increases the risk for organizations recruiting and trying to retain future African-American executives and leaders. The Korn Ferry findings are buttressed by a study by LeanIn.org with McKinsey, released in late October 2018. 45% of women of color reported being the only person of their race in work situations. Sadly, the study also found that our soulness, being the only one, has profound costs, especially on a team, in the C-suite, or on a project. The LeanIn.org McKinsey study found that women who spend time as the only are 1.5 times more likely to think about leaving their jobs than women who work with other women. 88% of women in the only category, compared to 2/3 of women across the board, say they have experienced microaggressions, from being mistaken for someone more junior to needing to provide more evidence of their competence. Women who are onlys also report being sexually harassed at higher numbers. To solve these problems, LeanIn and McKinsey recommend that companies hire and promote more women. That's been the traditional response. And of course, companies should hire and promote more women. But as Korn Ferry found, there's a catch-22. Without more and more visible people of color at the top, younger people of color, those beginning their careers, are opting out. One of our HBS alumni, a senior executive at LinkedIn, Jacqueline Jones, has put it bluntly, "You can't be what you can't see." Entrepreneurs. According to the 2018 State of Women-Owned Business Report, commissioned by American Express, while the number of women-owned businesses grew by an impressive 58% from 2007 to 2018, the number of firms owned by Black women grew by a stunning 164%. There were 2.4 million African-American women-owned businesses in 2018, most owned by women in the 35 to 54 age range. Black women are the only racial or ethnic group with more business ownership than their male peers, according to the Federal Reserve. Given the coming demographic surge and the economic power of women of color, something has to give. If fully engaged as a group, unicorns of color could transform capitalism. What a blessing! This book is a call for that collective. Why us? Neither of us thought the world needed another book filled with self-congratulatory tales of triumph over adversity or diversity in the corporate world. However, we appreciate what we have achieved, alone and together, and we have a passion for three outcomes: sharing and leveraging what we've learned in our careers as a springboard for the next generation of Black leaders, ensuring that our personal victories are known by more than our circle of friends, and that we can leave a legacy that will endure and spread our message of unity. Yes, we both have had exciting careers. Stewart was the first African-American female vice president at Google, and Adams was the first African-American female correspondent formally assigned to cover the Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush White Houses for CBS News. We are used to not taking no for an answer. We're used to wielding our onlyness and cultural invisibility as a cloak or a shield. We are comfortable being in command, being leaders. We have the entrepreneurial instinct. Also, we share another, more personal bond.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?